Are you ready?
Ready to transform your life and step into the person that you say you want to be.
Ready to stop talking and start doing?
I'm Ange, a health and fitness coach.
And I'm Ashley, a Reiki master and energy healer. And we are here to help you do exactly that.
And you're busy. We get that, because we are too.
But even with the challenges and chaos, you deserve and can live a life full of absolute joy, happiness, and purpose.
We want you to join us in taking radical responsibility so that you can take everything in your life to that next level.
Have the best sex of your life.
Live in a body that you love.
Let go of worry and stress.
And live in total alignment.
You're happier, healthier, an amazing life is waiting for you.
Let's get into today's episode.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Transform Your Life podcast. Angela, my dear, how are you?
So good, girl. So good. That sun shining down is feeling so good for my soul today. How about you, baby?
Absolutely. I woke up to that sunshine beaming in and I was just, it's going to be a good day. It's going to be a great day with that sun shining. And we are joined today by a very special guest. Her name is Mary McMonagall, and she is a feminine embodiment coach. I was thinking I was going to mess that whole title up. There's a lot of mix and ends in there. And so I think I nailed it.
You did.
Totally. We're just waiting for her to hop on here. There she is. She's arrived. Hello, Mary. How are you, beautiful?
Hi, I am good. I'm really excited to be here.
We are so glad you're here. And you are joining us from New Jersey, right?
Yes, the Jersey Shore right now. And yeah, it's my happy place.
Amazing. Did you grow up there, or is that a place that you have landed?
I did not grow up here, but it was a place I would come as a kid, which is perfect, right? We're gonna be talking about inner child. And yeah, I've definitely manifested this as my dream apartment, dream place to live. Yeah, so I landed here.
Amazing. I love when you talk about that, because one of the big things that we cover in everything that we do, and we have a course actually coming up soon on manifestation. And so it sounds like you have manifested the life of your dreams, right?
Yeah.
And you've touched on a few things that we're going to talk about, but one of them being the inner child. And so if you could, would you give our audience just a little brief on what it is that you do? And then we're going to dive into some of these juicy topics, one of them being the inner child. So when you talk about, you know, your inner child, but also you came to this happy place as a child, and maybe the link between some of that for us.
Yes. Yeah. So what I do is I work with women who are majorly in their masculine energy. And I know, because if you're listening to this podcast, you're familiar with that, which is being in your head. It's the logic, taking action. And I work with a lot of women who are high achievers, business owners, have a lot going on, a lot of responsibilities, moms, and shift them into their feminine energy, which is getting into your heart, getting into the core of who you are, especially as a woman. And one of the things that I'm all about is incorporating balance, because as a very high achieving woman myself, I have big goals and big dreams. And for a long time, I was very resistant of stepping into my feminine energy because I thought that meant to just rest, take bubble baths, do yoga, journal, which is actually wrong. Those are tools and processes to get there. But I guide my clients to be grounded in their masculine energy. So they're safe within their body. They are the leader of their life, and lead with your feminine energy. So being confident, being a woman who is able to flow, to let go. And so that's a beautiful process where I am working with women to really get to know themselves on a deep level. And the inner child piece comes into play. There are multiple pieces, because a lot of the women that I see have a lot of resistance, which is normal, right? We have created beliefs over time in our lives, and also have had life happen. We've had our heart broken. We've been let down. And so a lot of women can have resistance, which is so normal, as included myself. But there are multiple parts where we explore with stepping into your feminine energy from a strategic place. Because again, I'm all about balance. It's not just like, oh, let's just be confident and woo-woo and meditate and journal. It's like, okay, well, let's look at the strategy behind it. And a big piece, which is inner child. And I actually do that process pretty soon when working with me, because in order to then tapping into your inner child is allowing yourself to feel safe, is allowing yourself to understand why you're afraid to be seen. So that's definitely a big part of one of the puzzle pieces in the work that I do.
Amazing. So what does that look like? So if I came to you and I was rah-rah masculine, I'm a go-getter, I'm a hyperachiever, I work with mostly males, so I tune into that energy very easily. So if that's the case, how do I do that? How do I move into my inner child? What is the process of that?
Yeah, I love that question. So there are three parts that I'm going to look at. We're going to discuss your caregivers. We're going to discuss your masculine caregiver. Maybe that was your dad. Maybe that was your uncle. Maybe your dad wasn't in your life. So we're going to look at that figure first and how your relationship was with your masculine caregiver as a child and what beliefs that instilled in you as a child. And then we're going to also do the same with your feminine figure, your mom, maybe your aunt, maybe your mom wasn't in your life, maybe your mom passed away. Then we're going to really dive deep and look at those beliefs and what that instilled as you as a kid. Because, for example, I see a lot of women where maybe their mom wasn't in their life, so they took on this hyper independence as a child or this overly nurturing character as a child. So we're going to look at first what beliefs you created. And then the third piece, which I do with my clients, is we're going to bring up that inner child. So I guide my clients in a visualization where they're able to really just see what their inner child needed in that moment. And knowing what your inner child needed is a huge piece in the healing journey. A lot of my clients, it's having fun. For me, my inner child, she just needed safety. She needed protection. She needed words of affirmation, validation. And so those pieces that I mentioned right now are heavily where I check in on myself. If I'm feeling frustrated, currently I've had a lot of frustration come up in my life and I'm going back to my inner child. Okay. She just needs to be seen. She needs to be heard. So, and I can go in deeper and deeper, but those are definitely the three areas of the process that I start to explore with the inner child.
Interesting.
I have a question, Mary. What do you do if somebody comes to you and they say, I have no idea. I don't remember my childhood. I don't have recollection of this, or they maybe have went through many years where they just don't have the answers to that. What does that process look like of unpacking and potentially trying to remember?
Yeah.
Clear on that.
Ooh, that's a really good question. And so you used languaging there, which is key, trying to remember. Because a lot of clients will say, I don't know, I don't remember. And we do know. We have all the answers within our subconscious mind. So we can go back to a memory. It's just about allowing ourselves. So that to me signifies, okay, well, one, you might not yet fully trust me to guide you there. So we need to establish a little bit more rapport before we go back. Because to me, it's saying, okay, that this person is blocking those memories. But also our body is full of wisdom. Our body is holding emotions. So maybe we can't necessarily go back to a certain memory and we're blocking ourselves from going back to the emotions that it created. But in that instance, it would be important to really make sure that you are grounded, that you are allowing yourself to feel safe. You have a practice, because I've seen women, and I've gone through this myself, where I've gone back to memories of shame. And just very recently, a few weeks ago, I had such a huge panic attack as I was processing shame. But I know how to get grounded within myself. I know that also, okay, it's going to be uncomfortable when you have these memories and these emotions come up. But my tip and it would be to really just start to bring in the energy of safety in your everyday life, because that is our root chakra. in the chakra system. That is our foundation. So meaning, where can you check in? How am I feeling safe? Maybe you're listening to this on your couch and you're like, I'm feeling safe because I'm comfortable on my couch. So definitely a big place would be to know that you will be able to go back and understand some of these memories and recall what has happened as a childhood, even if you're trying to block it out, because that block is also just there to protect you and keep you safe.
So, and one of the things that you talk about, Mary, in addition to kind of this place of going to your inner child, is boundaries where you are now. And some of the clients that I work with are, they can go back to that inner child, or we can work through kind of the different years as they show up. But the struggle is right now, right? And so the overconfident, or the, you know, the overcompensating and appearing confident, that hypermasculine is a coping strategy at this point, right? Yes. It worked for a really long time and it got you through. But what we're seeing now is, oh, you actually, it's no longer supporting you, right? And I see this with women who are trying to get pregnant. Mm-hmm. Right. And they can't. And their biggest reason they can't get pregnant is because they will not lean into their feminine.
Right? Yeah.
And yeah. So rigid, really structured, really organized, really focused is the block. And so one of the things that I wonder is, how do we support people who are maybe needing boundaries, but also I think the trick with inner child work is not blaming.
Yes. So
there's maybe some trauma, or maybe they had a great childhood, but they really needed more, you know, affection or touch from their parents, and their parents just weren't touchy people, but you know, they had a great childhood. There was no, like, maybe some, there was maybe no abuse per se, but you know, we recognize that maybe not all of our needs are met all the time. We can't maybe do that for our kids all the time.
Yes.
And so how do we support people and create healthy boundaries, but not play the blame game? Like, oh, my parents, blah, 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 or my mom wasn't this, or my dad, I need to cut him out because of this. Mm. And so it sounds like you probably, if you dive into a lot of inner child work, the things that surface can be really tricky to manage, because all of those emotions need to process, and they're being processed in an adult body, in an adult scenario, who can look at the situation and go, I'm cutting my mom out. I can't believe she did that. Or, oh my gosh, I just remembered that. And, you know, I would never do that to my kids. I need to, you know, never go see my dad again. Or, you know, maybe those things do need to happen. But how do we create that so that it's not super icky all the time and ruining relationships?
That's a beautiful question. And I have a really powerful process for that. But I want to highlight something first that you said, which was so powerful, which is to not put the blame on anyone else. And it takes a deep level of awareness, because I've been there. I was so angry at my parents for a very long time because, oh, they should have been this way, they should have been that way. And if you really are wanting to, right, maybe you're in your masculine, you see yourself as a leader of your life is willing to understand that, okay, where can I really hold the power? Because if you're blaming others, you're giving away your power. But one of the processes that I do, and I'll tie this into your question around boundaries, and I know we were talking before we hit record around mother wound and father wound healing, and this is definitely around, this process is when you're healing that mother wound, you're healing that father wound. Let's explore the masculine side first. So if you are wanting to really dive into this healing work, one of the processes that I do, it's called holding up the mirror technique. And so I want you to think about, if you had a magic wand, and let's bring up your relationship with your dad, and take a breath with me if you're listening to this, because I can just feel deep energy. This is opening something up for someone. What would you change about the relationship with your dad? And you can do this at any time in your life. So you can do this when you think back to when you were a kid. You can do this to right now in your life. And so for me, when I look at this as my inner child, I would change that my dad was my dad was emotionally unavailable. So I would change that. Okay, my dad would be more patient, more kind, more caring. And now let's pause right here. And this is where I do the holding up the mirror technique, because what you see in others is a direct reflection of what you see within yourself. So when I did this work, I said, oh my God, I'm emotionally unavailable. Oh my God, I need to be more kind to myself. I need to be more caring to myself. So you hold up the mirror and you really explore maybe where you're doing that yourself. And then also, this is a little bit more advanced technique, but I really guide you to, depending if you had a very challenging relationship with your dad, this can be very challenging, but I encourage you to try this, which is then to do the reverse. So what were the amazing qualities about your dad? And for me, my dad was a provider. My dad, he was single father of four kids. He was doing the best of what he could do. And then to look at where you took on those qualities, because the apple really doesn't fall too far from the tree. And then so to insert your question around boundaries, and you can do this the same thing with your mom. And then to insert your question around boundaries is to really notice maybe where those positive qualities about yourself is where you're overextending. I'm such a giver. So I would have, oh my God, Mary, you were overextending and giving. And then notice how that part of you where you hold up the mirror, how that's playing out. So I was emotionally unavailable because I was giving from a place to try to receive love, to try to receive validation. So to balance it out is to be able to say, okay, where am I overextending the best qualities of myself? And where am I not allowing myself to heal? And I'm trying to tie it all back to your question around boundaries, but you'll really be able to see where this is playing out. Because for me, where it played out was, you know, I had no boundaries around emotionally unavailable men. I welcomed them into my life. And then until I did this work, that's an instant boundary for me. So hopefully that answers your question.
Absolutely. Absolutely. My question though is, how did you not then, as an adult right now, I don't know what your relationship with your father is, but how do you not blame him? How do you not think, oh, I've got to cut this relationship, or I need to, and maybe you do, right? But how do we not blame from the place that we are now when we do this healing work, when the shadow work shows up, because this is shadow work, right? When we go deep, how do we not get angry? How do we not blame? How do we not?
Yeah. It's a really good question. So I will share a vulnerable story. And my dad actually passed his 1 year anniversary of passing. It was a couple of days ago as we're recording this. And I took care of my dad on hospice. And up until he was put on hospice, I took a period in my life where I hadn't talked to him for 4 months because I felt very betrayed by him. And my dad got put on hospice and I said, okay, I'm able to step up and care for him. And I had to work through all of my emotions, my resentment. I had to work through my anger and to answer your question of how to not blame, communication. It really as simple as that. And I know my dad has very narcissistic tendencies. So there are certain ways and tools to process, especially when you're communicating with a narcissist. But especially as women, we store everything down and we do want to blame. And we want to feel guilty because we're so nurturing and so compassionate. So we're trying to see it from maybe all angles. But one of the ways to not blame is, for me, it's a simple process of communicating how you're feeling. But again, there are ways, especially if you're communicating with a narcissist, but also start to communicate with someone who isn't going to try to fix you. And I'm talking about if you want to communicate with a friend or a coach, a healer, a guide. Finding the right person to communicate and process this with is huge, where someone who's not going to try to fix you, they're not going to try to give you advice, but really just allowing yourself to first, one, unpack the blame, unpack and talk about, well, he did this, but then having someone who is then going to help you navigate and dive deep to see where okay, I'm blaming someone else, but how is this actually harming other areas of my life? Because I'm big on energy, and what energy we're putting out is impacting other areas. So to not blame your dad and to heal and to work through that, one of the things I would definitely suggest is starting to create a process to communicate and express how you are feeling.
You touched on a couple of things there, Mary. And I know we have a lot of listeners who are in relationships, and maybe narcissism is something that shows up. And you mentioned very casually specific strategies when it comes to communicating with narcissists. I think this often shows up with our parents, but also in our primary relationships. So would you be able to share some insights or tips for somebody who may be struggling with that? And also maybe even giving a little bit more of a definition of narcissistic tendencies for people that may be unaware.
Yes. Yeah, I love that, because I actually took me up until my adult lifehood to understand that my dad was a narcissist. And I say this with love, because my sister actually still gets upset when I call my dad a narcissist, but it is those tendencies, right? And what are those tendencies? A narcissist will, if you say, so let me explain how to communicate in a feminine way. A feminine way is you are coming across, hey, dad, when I was wearing this top and you said I looked ugly in it, it made me feel not beautiful. It made me feel that I'm not good enough. And I feel that when you make comments like that, it really damages how I see myself. So one, look at how I'm communicating. I'm leading with feeling. I'm not saying, you know, you are the reason I don't feel worthy. I'm saying I feel this way. But narcissists, so this is how to understand if you're in a secure relationship or the relationships around you are secure. Narcissists will eat up on those feelings. Narcissists fuel off of feelings. So you saying, I feel this way, narcissists will then invalidate your feelings. Well, oh, you shouldn't feel that way. Oh, you're too much, right? Who has heard that? You're too much. And narcissists then will turn it around, either make it about themselves. They'll go that direction where, oh, you're being too much, blah, 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 I'm just joking. Or narcissists will make it about them. Well, you said this to me one time. Narcissists, I like to say, keep score. Right. So if you're coming to them with a problem and they're like, well, I have this one ready to go, already this problem about you. Healthy and secure relationships is being able to understand feelings, being able to sit and write that feminine energy, being able to say, oh my gosh, let me hear what you have to say. So one of the tools that I share with people who are dealing with narcissists, if it's at an extreme level, really at any level. And I would do this process with my dad, and I could see it was quote unquote, what I say, quote unquote, putting him in his place, because narcissists need to be put in their place. So I would say narcissists really, they get high, right? They get high off of what people think about them and power and control. So when I communicate with a narcissist, the languaging I say is, you're coming across very cold. You are coming across that you really don't care about people. So when you use the languaging of you're coming across to a narcissist, their ego hears that, and their energy, it's like, oh my gosh, it's screaming at them, because they care so much about the perception of who they are and the perception that they're trying to portray.
Interesting. So what happens if you have a client who is a narcissist?
Right?
Because some of the things that you're describing, those are tendencies that do show up for all of us different times, right?
Yeah.
I think about even so many people probably who are listening, myself included, there's times when, you know, your kids are misbehaving, or, you know, you're exhausted and you have nothing left, and you're just like, enough, you need to stop screaming right now. Right. And
yes.
So some of those tendencies, and I think being very clear on, you know, the difference between what a narcissist is, this is who they are and who they've become over time, versus kind of those tendencies that do pop up for all of us, you know, not necessarily randomly, but through our life, and maybe need some work on that. But
yeah.
What happens when somebody comes to you as a narcissist? And
yeah. Oh, I love this question. Okay. So this is going to be a deep answer. So this may resonate with you, it may not, but it's really about understanding your value of who you are as a woman, your power. A lot of us women, and again, myself included, how we are feeling about ourselves is what we are going to attract. So if you're attracting emotionally unavailable men, narcissists, there's something inside of you that's saying, I don't believe I'm worthy of something better. So if you are in a place where maybe, yeah, your kids, and we'll use that example. Maybe your kids are acting out and you're like, enough. Before getting to that place, it's because you know what? Kids will test you, right? Kids test you is setting your standards, and setting your standards can be known as setting your boundaries is I will not tolerate this. And because when you are saying everyone is going to have different standards, everyone is going to have different boundaries. What may be acceptable to me might not be acceptable to you, but how you work on when you are maybe, I will use your question as an example, like attracting narcissist clients. I will make sure that my clients know my boundaries and I do not allow them to be crossed. And if they are crossed, again, I take radical responsibility. Listen, I know I set this boundary and I'm seeing this pattern, this behavior. And I was on my end, right? Noticing where you can hold the mirror up for yourself. But it really is about having to put it back on yourself when you are around narcissists or attracting narcissists or noticing narcissistic behavior is ask yourself, what are my values? What are my non-negotiables? Again, because they're going to be different than everyone. Everyone views life from their own internal operating system within their self. They view life through their own, I like to say through their own sunglasses. They're seeing something completely different through their sunglasses. So know your values, know your standards, know your worth. It's so thrown out there, but truly know your worth and grow into your worth. So that's why doing this work and working on yourself is essential, because my worth, Mary's worth from a year ago, so different. Mary's worth from 5 years ago, oh my God, that girl, I love her so much because she got me to where I am right now, but totally different standards and values. So to hold strong when the storm is coming, right? When the narcissist is coming, is to hold strong in your roots of who you are.
Beautiful. Ah, so good. Okay. One other question I have for you, and this is listed here as something that you dive into, and it sounds like with the work that you do, you're for sure touching on the conscious, which is just where we are, right? We are all conscious, hopefully living consciously, which means presently and tuning into the world around us as it unfolds. You're talking about subconscious. And also this one touches maybe a chord that people haven't heard before. So I'd love to have your input on what is the superconscious mind? So when you're working with clients, there is those subconscious things that are underlying, right? And you talked about maybe those blocked memories. Could you give us a little bit more of a deep understanding of what the subconscious is? And then also this idea of the superconscious mind.
Yes. Oh, I love this. Okay. So let's explore our mind, right? So the conscious mind is you're listening to this right now. You are conscious. You're hearing my words. You're maybe thinking about what you want to eat. And then so the subconscious, that is where it's like a computer program. That is where there are files being stored, because our brain, so much is happening at once. And so an example of this is you might walk into a store and notice someone is staring at you. And subconsciously, that might be bringing up a file of, oh my gosh, they're staring at me because I look weird, or I might have something on my shirt. And so our subconscious is storing these files based off of beliefs of situations and things that have happened throughout your life, especially childhood. There are so many subconscious files playing in your mind. And so when you do this work, you are opening up those files. Okay. Because consciously you might be listening to this and think, when I look in the mirror, I don't feel beautiful. And so where that's consciously playing out, and your subconscious is controlling that. Your subconscious is looking for things to validate that conscious thought. So when you rewire your subconscious mind to look for reasons why you are beautiful, then you will start to look in the mirror and say, I'm beautiful. But that is like going to the gym. It's going to require work. It's not going to happen overnight. So that's the subconscious. And then the superconscious, which isn't talked enough about, is our connection to the spiritual world, the spiritual realm, God, source, universe, angels, whatever you want to call it. But essentially, that is also your intuition. And through the superconscious, it's allowing your intuition to then guide you into the subconscious. And then through the subconscious, you're able to work consciously. So the superconscious is basically allowing yourself to really open up spiritually, open up intuitively, because once you allow yourself to connect to your superconscious, your intuition, and then you're able to tap into the subconscious easier and understand, okay, that now I am having that, recalling this memory from a childhood, Oh my gosh, what is the belief behind this subconsciously? How is this playing out in my everyday life consciously? So it's a beautiful way to really understand what you believe in about this world, right? God, universe, source, and how that is impacting you. And then how you can use that to navigate your subconscious mind and then into your conscious mind.
Okay. And so one question that I have, when it comes to moving into that spiritual or that superconscious, do you have to be in your divine feminine? Or how do we access this, right? Like, I have male clients, right? So it's being in that divine masculine, that divine feminine, having the balance. Or from your work standpoint, you work with females. Do they have to move out of that, like, that hyper masculine into the feminine to access that super consciousness and also to kind of go below and into those subconscious files and do the inner work, right? When I think about communicating and, you know, telling my dad how I feel, that does not feel masculine. That feels very feminine. So how do we support men as well as women in this work?
Oh, I love this. And so that's what's the beautiful thing. It's a little bit of both, because, and most people might say, oh, you have to be in your feminine energy to access your intuition. No, because when you can be in your masculine energy and access your intuition, but it's a healed masculine, because the unhealed masculine is closed-minded, is thinking, oh, this is a bunch of crap. This is a bunch of woo-woo. An unhealed masculine or a healed, I'm sorry, healed masculine, they're safe within themselves. They're safe to explore. And when you feel safe within yourself, that's a very, very masculine energy. And that's your root. That's grounding you. Then you are going to be open to exploring. So that is then allowing you to shift into the feminine. And the feminine is that essence of, okay, exploration, of flow. So when you first you do have to feel safe within yourself. So you need that masculine, you need to feel grounded, because one of my biggest fears when I was realized I was super, super intuitive, I was trying to close off my gifts. I said, I don't want to have these, I don't want to be sensitive to people's energy and feel their energy. And I was trying to close off my gifts, but I realized I was just really afraid of them and I was not in a grounded place. So masculine energy is getting grounded. And then when you're in a secure and healthy masculine, it makes it a lot easier to shift and explore into the feminine energy. Because then when you are a little bit more open-minded, it's easier for you to really access and be in tune with your intuition. Because also the opposite can happen. I have a client right now where every single week I'm actually trying to drop her into her masculine, because she is very up high in the feminine, very, very high in the feminine energy, where she just wants to spend time in the clouds, so to speak. She just wants to spend time in, oh, understanding past lives, ancestral, and which all that is great, but she needs to feel safe first within herself. So a lot of the times too, us empaths, we will leave our body and we'll step into that hyper feminine energy, which isn't a good space to be in either, because you're leaving your body and you're not allowing yourself to feel safe. So it's definitely both about allowing yourself to be in that masculine, to feel safe, to know that, okay, maybe you receive an intuitive message, intuitive download, and you can then decide, do I want to accept this or do I want to throw it away? So yes, being grounded in your masculine and then allowing yourself to explore and be open to the possibilities in your feminine energy.
Now, Mary, do you have specific techniques or tools that you give to women to help them get into this feminine embodied energy that you're talking about? Like, I'm wondering, maybe dancing or yoga or breath work or things that they're doing daily so that they can come into that full embodiment?
Yes, I love this question. Okay, I'll take it to one of the major practices that I do with women and then shift it into something that makes it, I'm all about making it make sense. So when working with me, I say fake it until you make it is wrong. What I say, because if you're trying to fake it until you make it, you're trying to be something you're not, even though maybe you really want to be that. So what I say is be it until you become it. So what do I mean by this? I mean, what I want you to do is look at, who do you want to be? So, right, we talked a little bit about manifesting. Maybe you're manifesting your dream partner, and bring that up. Imagine it, right? And that's starting to allow yourself to be in feminine energy. But imagine, even if you just pretend you're watching a movie, but that movie is about you, who are you being? Maybe you're being someone who is patient. Maybe you're being someone who has their heart open. And notice these qualities and characteristics about yourself and write them down. And those are your values. Those are who you need to live by every single day. That is how you be in your feminine energy. Because again, as I said at the beginning of this podcast, yoga, journaling, and taking bubble baths, taking a rest day, that is not feminine energy. Feminine energy is about being the woman you just desire to be. So my being is going to look a lot different than you listening to this, your being. So understand what your values are as a woman who is embodying her feminine energy, or even a man. Maybe you're a man listening to this and you look at those qualities of, okay, who will I be? Maybe I will be someone who is a protector. And because then you can look at, okay, well, where am I not protecting the people who are currently in my life, right? Hold that mirror up. And then a more tangible process and technique is, yes, you can absolutely do the yoga and the journaling and take a rest day, because that will help guide you into who you're being, right? Because maybe you will, if you're in a partnership, you will be someone who has more time. And so you need to then create a practice to have more time in your day to day. But one of the more tangible practices, after we explore inner child healing, there's a practice that I offer, which is, what did you like to do as a kid? Or what are you craving to do more of? And then I combine that. So for you, as a kid, one of the things I've been leaning into lately is when I have a break, I'll actually take my podcast microphone, I'll put on some music, and I'll pretend I'm on stage singing. I'll put on a concert with myself. And so that's my inner child coming out. And then lately, I have a feminine flow practice where I'm intuitively moving my body. Some people say it looks like Kundalini yoga, but I'm just moving my body in a way that is free. I'm just letting my body feel free. And then another feminine, so I guide my clients to think about it. Like, and you know, if you're listening to this, think about something that you've been wanting to do, incorporate more into your life. Maybe it is the journaling. Maybe it is taking a rest day. Those are beautiful things. Those will be tools to help shift you into that vibration of that woman. Another thing that I've been incorporating more into my everyday life is, when after I have my little solo concert in my bedroom, then I'll put on some music and I'll literally pretend I'm walking the runway. I will like move and I'm like, hey, like, you know, walking the runway. And it's just so fun. And when I do that, when I practice that, I've noticed it's allowed me to feel more comfortable when I am in front of large groups. If I'm speaking, I used to be very self-conscious of dressing real feminine and putting on makeup and the beautiful clothes because I was scared of attention. So doing these practices have helped me feel comfortable with those areas that I was healing and working on. But yeah, to close it out to those tangible practices, really think about what it is that you, your soul, your heart has been craving. Maybe it is to dance. Maybe it's to play. Maybe it's to hula hoop. This is where you get to get creative. This is where you hold all the power, is you get to decide what it is for you.
I think one of the things that you talk about too is not the bubble baths are bad. They're fantastic. I try to have as many as possible.
For sure.
But it's about the intention behind it.
Yes.
Right. And so same with when you talk about that runway where you're like, I'm calling in my feminine power. I'm doing this because it makes me feel good. And I'm, you know, that child in me feels alive when I'm singing and, you know, I'm being silly. And so I think doing that from that conscious place to kind of tap into those subconscious files, that's where that healing is taking place. And so I think one of the things that I hear you saying is intention and being very conscious with that is a key piece of whatever tool or strategy you're using, is the why underneath it.
Yes, exactly. Being very intentional, because listen, I love a good bubble bath. I feel so good. But for a long time, I resisted being in my feminine energy because I'm like, I have all these things and goals and dreams I want to get done. I can't just like sit around and do nothing, because my beliefs, and you know, maybe for your listeners, like, start to understand what are your beliefs about feminine energy and who you are as a woman, because my beliefs, I can't take a rest day. I can't take a day off. But now who I am as a woman is I'm so in tune with all four of my bodies, my mental body, my emotional body, my physical body, my spiritual body. So if I, for instance, tomorrow I have a really busy schedule and I've injured my knee and I'm like, I need someone to come over, do some healing work on me, do energy work, because I'm so in tune with my body. I'm not going to push through. So I moved some things around where I could have someone come here tomorrow and do some energy work on me. And so, yeah, the more you get in tune with your body, you'll see, oh my gosh, a couple weeks ago when it was my dad's birthday, I had a full day and I'm thinking, oh yeah, I'll be fine. I can get through it. And then the day leading up, I'm so anxious. So I take a moment, I tap into meditation, you know, you can journal, maybe you want to take a bubble bath, right, to help unpack. And I'm saying, oh my gosh, I'm feeling anxiety because I actually am pushing down my emotions and I thought having a busy day would distract me, but it's actually causing me anxiety and I need to sit in this. So cancel my day and allowed myself to feel and process that. But when you know who you are and you know your body, it's beautiful, because I had a fear, well, I don't, if like, you know, I'm a busy person. I like to do a lot of things, but what if I don't feel like doing it? Cause I'm like, I don't want to shift to my feminine energy and be lazy. Cause I'm like, oh, I don't feel like doing this. But again, it's all about knowing who you are, because when I turned 30 this year, when I had my 30th birthday, I was running a group program that the next day, and I was working through a lot of emotion because it was first birthday without my dad. And I checked in with myself, Mary, do you feel that you can guide these women on this call? And even though I was working through a lot, yeah. So what I did when I got on the call was like, hey, ladies, listen, I explained how I'm feeling, the emotions. And I said, I'm sharing this with you because they're all leaders. As a leader, it's important to tune into your body, to tune into yourself, to notice whether you're forcing something. Because if I was forcing that, I might have been forcing it that I don't want to let them down. Oh my God, what if one of them gets mad and wants a refund? Or if you're doing it from a place where you're feeling all the feels, but you are grounded and you can understand, okay, I can still show up. So I showed up for them. And at the end of the call, they were like, if you didn't tell us that, we actually would have never known. They all had amazing breakthroughs. And a lot of them thanked me because they said, wow, as a leader themselves, this helps me feel like I don't need to always be perfect. I don't need to always be on. And it's like, yeah, because we're just being ourselves at the end of the day. So I share that with you because really getting to the more you step in your feminine energy, the more you understand yourself.
Magical. So wonderful. And one of the last things that I want to touch on here, we've talked about kind of that inner child. We've talked about mother wound, father wound. How do you know where your father wound or your mother wound is? How do you know what it is and what the hell do you do about it?
Ooh, I love this question. Okay, so immediately I feel called to start. How to know about your father wound? Look at the relationships you have with men. Maybe you are in a relationship right now. And look at the expectations that you are placing on your partner. Or if you're single, look at the quality of men that you're attracting. Like I said, I kept attracting emotionally unavailable men. And because that's all my mind, my body, my energy, my heart knew. Because that to me was familiar. Again, that's why it's important to do inner child healing, to understand actually what it is that you, what these patterns, because then you get to create your values and what gets to become familiar. For women, for the mother wound, if you're like, how, you know, I don't even know where to begin, I would say look at the quality of friendships you have. Are you around women who gossip about other women? Are you around other women who maybe don't have boundaries, who are always calling you and emotionally dumping on you? Are you around women who are always late and not respecting who you are? Right. So looking at the quality of the relationships around you, and then also look at the quality relationship with you have with your mom. A couple weeks ago or a couple months ago, I looked at the relationship with my mom and I was having some anger come up. I was having a lot of just sadness. And so I'm sitting with it, I'm healing with it, because it's going to come at different phases in your life. And where I'm at right now, I actually view my mom as someone who's so strong, who really, when you are in her life, she gives you so much love. So, and again, this is deep healing work, but I would suggest to just start to notice the quality of friendships in your life and how people are treating you. Because if you're listening to this and you're like, you know what, I am tired of maybe my work bestie gossiping about other people at work, because chances are they're gossiping about you. So, but you're giving to your energy to those people. So those to me are definitely areas that like signify, let me work on my energy so I'm not attracting this, or I know how to insert boundary. And then same thing with men, is look at the expectations that you're placing on the men in your life. Look at the expectations you're placing on your partner, because there are times I've been there where I'm thinking my partner, oh, well, he should know this. He should do that. And again, that's me putting an expectation. And I can ask myself, well, what about my masculine energy? Do I need to explore? But then also, yeah, look at the quality of men that you're attracting in your life. And it'll look shocking, because when I took this work, I was like, oh shit, this sucks. But because you're holding the mirror up, but it's the most empowering thing you can do.
Amazing. 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 I think that covers everything that I have on my list of things that I wanted to dive in with you for, Mary. Angela, is there anything that's popping up on your mind or your heart that you want more clarity on, or you're seeking deeper understanding from our beautiful Mary?
I'm actually curious about the title of your business, True Vibe. And I saw on your website that you trademarked it. So I also thought that was kind of interesting. I'm just wondering where the inspiration for True Vibe came for you and what those words truly embody.
Oh, thank you for asking that, because it means a lot. It's very intentional. So True Vibe came from, I always say life isn't all good vibes. We have the highs. We have the happiness, the love, the joy, and we have the lows, which my past version of Mary was so, I felt like I always had to be happy and joyful all the time. I'm scared to dive deep into the sadness, the anger, the resentment, the loneliness. And so it's important to, I'm a surfer, it's important to ride the wave. So I always say life isn't all quote unquote good vibes. But when you can connect to who you truly are, you can appreciate the good times a lot more, and you can also endure and move through the challenging moments. So that's where True Vibe came from.
Love it. Love it, love it, love it. Now, if somebody wants to connect with you, Mary, where do you like to hang out? Are you an Instagram girl, Facebook, website? Maybe you're a TikToker.
I know there's always so much. So I'm Instagram for sure. If you want to connect with me at MaryMC4, if you go on my bio, I have a link where I have a free quiz. And the quiz is, are you more in your masculine energy or your feminine energy? And I love this quiz because, again, I'm all about balance. So the quiz is going to show you, maybe you're more in your masculine energy, how that is serving you. But then it's going to show you what I call the areas of improvement of how you can then begin to shift and open up to your feminine energy. And then vice versa. Maybe you are too much in your feminine energy. Like that one client, I use an example. I'm like, girl, we need to ground you. We need to get a little masculine energy in you. It'll show you how it's serving you, but how you can start to shift more into your masculine energy. So if you feel called to that, go check out the quiz and then send me a message of what you got.
Totally. We're going to do that right after we... I'm going to literally do it and then I'm going to screenshot it and send it to both of you. And if you are listening and you do the quiz, feel free to send it to any one of us in the DMs. We won't be able to decipher it in the same way as Mary, but we love connecting with you. We love quizzes. They're one of my favorite things to do. So thank you, Mary. We love the way that you're showing up in this world. I love that the universe brought us together to have this powerful conversation with you and share new tools and new insights to support all of those listening. Now, we have one more final question, and that is, Mary, how would you like to be remembered?
Oh my gosh, I love this. I would like to be remembered. So I love the quote by Maya Angelou, which is, it's not about what you said to people. It's not about what you did for people, but it's about how you made them feel. And I get emotional thinking about this, is I truly want to make people feel seen. I truly want to make people feel that I am a safe person that they can open up and be vulnerable with and share things that maybe they've been holding back because they're scared of judgment. So I really want to be remembered as someone who made you feel love, someone who made you feel that you weren't alone. So thank you for asking such a beautiful question.
Of course, Mary. Well, thank you for spending time with us today. Everybody, thank you for listening. We will see you next week for another episode of the Transform Your Life podcast. Lots of love from our hearts to all of you.